views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, feeling a lot better than I did the last podcast. Boy, I had a bit of a flu bug or something, but it's gone. Hallelujah, it is gone, and I'm back to, well, I was going to say normal, but hey, we all know what normal isn't like, right? We ADHDers. I hope you had a good week, a good day, a good hour, whatever. Try to find something good in your life if you're struggling, and I know some of you are. Hey, I've been there too. Not easy, especially this time of the year. As we get ready for Christmas, a lot of people are gearing up, getting presents all set, and just thinking in the Christmas mode. But sometimes it can be a sad time of year. If you're struggling with depression, with your ADHD, hey, just take it one piece at a time. But by all means, hang in there. It will get better. I know it's an old cliche, but, you know, if you ride out the storm, there's a good chance that things will get better. It might not seem that way now, but trust me, I've been there. And, you know, just hang in there. Ride it out like a rider on the storm, as the Doors once said or sang. Of course, Club ADHD, the podcast, is part of 3 points. When it comes to Club ADHD, we have the podcast, we have the Facebook page, and we have the Twitter account, all brought to you by CADAC. That's the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. I keep saying this, but their website, a lot of information there when it comes to ADHD. Plus, it can help you be a flag waver, be an advocate, visit Club, no, not Club ADHD. You can visit that too, clubadhd.ca. But for CADAC, it's CADDAC.ca. Doesn't matter if you're not residing in Canada. We have listeners around the world, and a lot of the information on that website will help you. Doesn't matter where you are. And as I had mentioned, we have our own page when it comes to Club ADHD with all the links. ClubADHD.ca, that's where you can go. Of course, Club ADHD is all about us. Adults with ADHD, you know, sometimes we need a helping hand. And I know with ADHD, where some people say ADD, there's a lot of focus on children, and rightfully so. We've all been there, right? But kids get older, kids turn into adults, and that's what we are. And it doesn't mean that we can't use some help. So if we band together, we can help each other. Because I've often said this, especially when it comes to getting awareness and making change. If we don't do it, there's a good chance no one else will. We have to band together. And speaking of banding together, I touched upon this a few, for the past few podcasts, actually more than touched upon it. There's the initiative put forth by CADAC. It's called ADHD Speaks. And all it is, it's a shout out, or it's a request for you to take your cell phone, your smartphone, and do a selfie video. And just for a minute, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, whatever. Just give a bit of your story with ADHD. And I know some people are out there, a lot of people are out there, afraid to do this because I don't know what to say. They have a lot to say, but they don't know how to put it. And how to start it. What you could do is just go on and say, answer this question. ADHD, how does ADHD affect me? And then explain. You don't have to go into great detail. Maybe throw in a story if you like. Doesn't matter. If you have ADHD kids, you can talk about what it's like to be an ADHD parent. What we want to do is to get all these stories together. And yes, I am actively involved in this initiative. Get them all together and take all the voices and combine them together for one big voice. So if we're faced with someone who says, ah, ADHD isn't real, you know, oh yeah? Well, listen to these stories. Now, I'm talking about not your average Joe who might say ADHD isn't real, because there are a lot of them out there. I'm talking people that can make change, politicians or people involved in schooling, school boards, whatever. Just to band together and say, yeah, it is real, because a lot of people, they think we're faking it. They think we're using it as an excuse. And I'm sure you've been faced with that. You know, what do you do? When it comes when to our next podcast, that. We'll be speaking to Cadex. You can argue that,
but sometimes
CEO and president,
it's
Heidi Bernhardt.
Pointless.
And if you have a question for Heidi,
you're talking to somebody,
visit our Facebook page
and want to explain it to them, what it's
check
like
out
for
where
you
go to.
And go
put
ahead.
Down your question.
Better yet,
we've got a thread happening there. We have lots of good questions so
and
far,
if
but we can
you're
use
a little
more
intimidated
like the one
by
from
doing
you
it yourself.
Once again, that's the Facebook group page
with actually
ADHD,
the guest
the podcast
that we have for today's
well,
program.
That's it for now.
She
I hope you have
ADHD
a great
stage.
Day, a great week until
and
we meet again. This is your cordial ADHD
as
host.
As I'll explain to you,
Russ LeBlanc.
I came across
remind
her.
You to spread the word.
You know, it was totally surprised.
ADHD
she was surprised when I asked
is
her, hey,
real.
This. I don't know how to start. She said, well, okay, let's start the video and I'll ask you a couple of questions off camera. And that's what I did. And she just answered them. And it was much easier for her. So you can do the same thing. Just have somebody off camera ask you a couple of questions and speak truthfully. It doesn't have to be scripted or anything. So that's ADHD Speaks. You can find more information on Cadex website, Cadex, C-A-D-D-A-C dot C-A. Well, these past few days have been interesting for me. As I had mentioned, I licked something that was with me for quite some time. I think ever since the Halifax conference, I wasn't quite feeling up to par. I was just tired out, and then this kind of flu bug hit me, and raspy voice and all that stuff, and finally gone. So that's good. And I might have mentioned, I know I mentioned about my diet that I'm on, that a couple of months ago I was diagnosed with pre-diabetes. And from what I understand, I don't know what the correlation is, but of course when you go online and you say, is there any correlation between this and that? And I just for the heck of it, I put in ADHD and diabetes, and of course you come across information. Oh yes, there is a correlation. I don't know how, but it is genetically driven for the most part, diabetes. So I had to go on a diet. I created it myself. I hyper-focused on it. You know, I went on the various diabetes websites, the American Diabetes Association, the Canadian version, and a few others, and I just took bits and pieces, and all said and done, right now, I've lost about 25, maybe more pounds, and my numbers, I just got my numbers back from a test on my blood that was conducted a week ago, way down, everything's normal. But I asked my physician, does that mean I can go off the diet now and I can eat whatever I want? He said, no. So that's not good when it comes to that, because I like to eat. And yes, do I feel a little better? At times I do, you know. Yeah, and it has increased my badminton game ability, I should say. But I'm not totally happy because, as I just mentioned, I like to eat. And you know, when someone says, oh, you eat healthy and you're going to feel so much better. Yeah, to a point. But you know what? I feel like I need a cheeseburger. Put that in the intravenous, right? Just pump it right in there. I'll never, never stop loving cheeseburgers. And I do have one on occasion. I say one before it was two, three, four, whatever. Pizza was, it's still in my diet. Pizza is, but not the the meats on it. Can only do so much. So yeah, I'm kind of hyper-focusing on that. For me, it's supposed to be a lifelong issue when it comes to, you know, just keeping that diabetes at bay, because the pre-diabetes means that, hey, you're just around the corner. A lot of people say it's inevitable, you'll get it. And there are some physicians that say you can keep it at bay, maybe for the rest of your life, maybe, but you want to do it as long as you can. That's what I want to do, and that means a lifelong change. That's going to be tough. Yeah, lifelong changes. I've got enough with my ADHD, right? We have to adapt and maybe come up with strategies, and it's never going to go away, our ADHD. Well, I've got diabetes to worry about there. And yeah, sometimes I do worry about it with the ADHD mentality that I have, but I've got to deal with it. So I'm just telling you about it. And you know something? Just talking to you right now, it helps. And somebody mentioned about the podcast or, you know, how we can help each other. And I had told that person, I believe I did it during the interview that you're about to hear, that, you know, I'm helping myself by talking with you on the podcast, you know. I know you don't get to answer back. Hopefully in the next month or two, you will, for an edition of Club ADHD, a live version, no less, where you can hear us online, live, and you can phone call, make a phone call to us, and get on the air, just like you would on a radio station, a talk radio station. I'll tell you more about that as we get closer. Another thing we're going to be doing, and that's for the next podcast, and I unveiled this on our Facebook page. What? You're not a member of our Facebook page? For shame. Go to clubadhd.ca, hit the link, hit the like button there, or follow or whatever it is, I can't remember, when you come to the Facebook page. I hope you're on Facebook. If you're not, you can't see the page, I don't think. I'm not sure about that. But in any case, if you follow us there, you would have noticed that our next guest will be Heidi Bernhardt. Now, Heidi is the top banana. Not top banana, but she's the president and chief executive officer, I guess, of Kodak. She's the founder of Kodak. Now, she's not a doctor, but she does have a medical background in the nursing department and the nursing aspect of it when it comes to the mind, right? So ADHD is in her wheelhouse. I mean, she's been doing this for a long time. And the mental side of things is what I'm trying to explain before. I just had a mental lapse there. Ever get those? I do. In any case, yeah, she knows what's going on. She knows the latest news. She's talked to a number of top-notch, world-renowned physicians. And I threw it out there on the Facebook page. Hey, you want to ask Heidi a question? Type it here. Let's see if she can answer it. So I have a number. We have a number of questions that are on the Facebook group page right now. And if you're thinking, well, I'd like to have a question answered, put the question on our Facebook group page. And who knows, maybe she can answer it for you. You'll be able to find out during our next podcast. So that's pretty good, huh? That's a little bit of a plus when it comes to a membership of Club ADHD, right? It's all about us. It's an open club, but we are unique. We people with ADHD. We're not NUTS. We are unique. And I'm sticking with it. Now, let's go to our interview portion of the program. And before we get right into that, I'm going to explain what happened, how this came about. Another initiative that Kodak is putting forth, it's dealing with animation. They're putting together three cartoons aimed at kids with ADHD to explain, you know, what it's all about. And the characters in the animations, they have ADHD, or the main characters do. Now, I'm involved in this. I'm not one of the characters, but I'm looking after the recording and the coaching as far as the audio side of things and, you know, getting people behind the microphone and helping them out in that aspect. And we put out feelers to see what kids we could get to be a part of this. And we have the kids lined up for the voices, and all the kids' voices have been recorded. We just need the father voice right now, and Patrick McKenna will be the father voice. If that name rings a bell, maybe you know Patrick through, I don't know, the Red Green Show? He had a prime role there. The nephew on there, Harold, and he's been in a number of Canadian-based productions, as well as international productions, too, when it comes to movies and TV and stuff. So he's going to be the father figure. I'll be recording him next week. But I digress. We had one of the voices come in, a young girl with her mother. And I started talking with her mother. And come to find out, her mother is a big advocate for her child, as many parents of ADHD people or kids are, it seems, you know. because no one else is helping them in the school system, for the most part. You know, there are unique situations, positive situations. So I started talking with her, and come to find out, she feels she does have ADHD. Now, I say she feels because she's never been officially diagnosed, but if you're like me, we have that ADHD-dar, the radar, and yeah, I would say that she has ADHD, and yeah, she knows that she does, but she just will get into the interview about why she hasn't gone ahead and got that confirmed. In any case, I thought, well, you know, I need someone to talk to. It's kind of ironic that this has happened, that, hey, would you like to be interviewed? I had a microphone there for her daughter for the animation, and I had my microphone that used to coach her, not quite as nice as hers, but you know, it worked out. It sounds okay. So sit down, you know, set a spell, 20, 30 minutes, whatever, and let's talk about it, about your ADHD, as well as being a parent of an ADHD child and being an advocate. I mean, what is it that you do? What inspires you to do it? How do you keep going? Because she does. She's like that ever-ready bunny, Energizer bunny, is it? Did I just combine two corporate entities into one? I don't know. Energizer bunny. She keeps going and going and going. So that's what we did. And I think it worked out pretty well. So we have this interview coming up. And don't worry, if you don't have kids, it'll still be relevant because there are lots of aspects of her story, of the interview, that can play into our own lives, even if you don't have ADHD, if you're an adult, and even if you do have ADHD, but you don't have a kid. Right? You're an adult. So please keep it tuned right here. And just before we jump into the interview portion of the program, I like to say that, boy, this is starting to catch on, this Club ADHD, the podcast, but I want it to go even further. So please, 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 please spread the news. If you're a member of a group, a support group, or an online group, just, hey, say, I listen to this podcast. Maybe you'd like to do so too. Maybe you'd like to join us and we'll all learn together. Yeah, I want you to spread the news if you could, if you can do me that favor. That's all I ask for now. Just do us that favor, and we want to be bigger and better. And we are being noticed by other groups as well, other podcasting lists. I mean, yes, we're on iTunes and Stitcher and all that stuff, and we just don't go on there saying, hey, would you list us, and they throw us on the list. No, they vet us. I mean, we have to hit a criteria. Well, I'm constantly seeing other groups taking the feed here and putting it on their lists. So that's pretty good. We're doing something right. At least I hope we are. People are finding it interesting. I am. I'm involved. And yes, I have a vested interest, I guess you could say, because I'm hosting this and putting it together. But it's for all of us. So please spread the news. And I'm glad to see that other people are picking up as well. It's always good to have more exposure. And now, enough with that. Let's go to our interview portion of the program. Up next is a perfect example of someone willing to help someone else, but not so much herself. Her name is Tiffany Dovolos. She has an ADHD daughter, and she has told me that she is her daughter's biggest advocate, especially when it comes to schooling. She's relentless in making sure that her daughter gets the right type of teaching approach. However, when it comes to her own self, well, she's not so much an advocate. You see, she says she has ADHD, and after talking with her, I don't doubt it. However, she never was officially diagnosed. Why? Well, we'll get to that. We're talking with Tiffany Dovolos on Club ADHD, the podcast.
So you think you might have ADHD?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah?
Undiagnosed.
Of course. But how did that play into the fact that you're helping your daughter? Can you relate to some of the things that she's experiencing?
Absolutely. When she was younger and we started to see that there were differences,
yeah,
and we started to research, look at her symptoms, speak to doctors, whatnot, I started to recognize the symptoms in myself.
Right.
That they weren't flaws that I necessarily grew up with, that there actually might be something to the way I live and the way I function.
Do you find that certain things in your everyday life are challenges that maybe somebody else might not have?
Absolutely. My level of procrastination.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Oh, man, I can relate.
The amount of thoughts I have at any given time, the ideas are constant and nonstop, and the level of anxiety it caused, thinking I was different and nobody could understand or relate. People would look at me and be like, calm down. You talk too much. You're always busy, you know.
What about your husband? Do you think he has a bit of it, or is he what they call normal?
We would call him a neurotypical in our house, right?
Oh?
Yeah. No, normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the other half of me. He's the calm.
The yin and the yang.
Absolutely.
Does he ever say to you, oh, you're having an ADHD moment, or can he pick those things off?
He can definitely pick them up. He sees them, but he doesn't dare say that. He knows better.
Now, you were, when we're off mic, you were telling us about how you advocate for your daughter.
Yes.
And more or less stating that the school officials really don't know what they're going to deal with when they're dealing with you. Can you kind of, looking back, and say that, well, maybe that's my ADHD hyper-focus, that I'm hyper-focused on helping my daughter?
100%.
So that's a good thing.
Yes. I've taken that as the powerful tool that I used to think was a flaw.
Right.
And recognize now that has been, how am I going to say this?
Well, you're not giving up.
Never. I'll never give up.
Right.
This is my job. I truly believe there's a reason. I am not the normal. I'm a stay-at-home mom. My husband traveled for years, so I always think it's been a blessing to be able to do that, that I've been able to be part of her journey.
Right.
And I think that's the reason I am where I am, so that I can see this. I've learned so much from my daughter's experience that it's now my job to take that and make the message a little more widespread.
So you're taking something that a lot of us ADHD people have, is the hyper-focus, and you're doing a productive thing.
I hope so. I like to try.
Well, yeah, you are.
I can't help it. It is like I would call it an obsession. It's the hyper-focus.
Yeah. But this is an instance where hyper-focusing is really good, because you're helping not only you and just, you know, going with your hyper-focus, but you're helping your daughter. Right?
Yes.
Does she sometimes think, Mom, kind of ease up a bit?
I'm sure she does. My son will say that, definitely.
Yeah?
Yes.
Now, would you say your son is ADHD or no?
No.
Oh. So does that get uncomfortable for him sometimes when he's seeing you at the school, or do they go to the same school?
They did before. They were in the same elementary school. No, you know what? They're just used to, my son is used to, that's what Mom does.
Yeah.
I'm there, and he actually enjoys it because he doesn't know any different.
Yeah.
I've always been a part of their school, very heavily involved. If it's not with the teachers, on a volunteer side, so that I could always be monitoring and always, there's that hyper-focus, watch what's going on.
Yeah.
It's funny, I never looked at it that way for myself as hyper-focus. It just,
it's what you had to do.
It's just what I had to do.
But so many people who are, quote, normal, end of quote, would probably think, I'll give up now. You know, I've done this enough, okay, but you just like a pit bull.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know how to let go. It's just nonstop, because this, until there is better understanding, people are more accepting, I can't. I can't let it go.
Now, what about the scenario that I'm sure there are some people in the educational system thinking that, well, yeah, she's helpful. She makes sense. But I'm sure there are others saying, they look at you and say, oh, here she comes again.
That's my normal reaction.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So how do you get over that?
I just keep moving. That doesn't bother me.
Do they?
I take that as a challenge.
Ah, but those on the receiving end, do you ever come across somebody who is equally determined not to have you run things?
All the time.
So what happens?
Nothing. I keep going. It's not a deterrent for me. Maybe it's a fork in the road, and I have to do things a little bit different, but maybe it's a bad thing to say, but when I know I'm right about it, and I know there's more to do and more to educate, and I'm always willing to learn. I'm not always right. I don't mean it that way, but like you said, it's like a pit bull. It's a dog on a bone. I can't stop until I feel like our voices have been heard and we can have an open dialogue about these situations and about ADHD and learning styles and whatnot in regards to the school.
I would have to think that in some cases, those on the receiving end would finally say, enough, I give up. Okay, let her have her way. Does that happen?
No.
No?
No. Occasionally, but not that often. I think there are probably once in a while.
Yeah.
But it's very...
Well, that's kind of sad when you think about it, because if there is equal when it comes to their determination to say, hey, she's got it wrong, I know what's up, ADHD, that's just, you know, another excuse. I mean, if you're facing someone like that and they're as equally passionate as saying that I am right, mm-hmm. and then they have you saying, no, look at it this way, it to me, a person with ADHD, it's got to be somewhat sad, but for you, I mean, you consider it a challenge.
I consider it a challenge.
Yeah.
I feel like it's an educational moment. It's a chance. I can understand, if I'm hearing you correctly, they're as passionate as I am about yeah. their belief
right.
and what their understanding of something is. I'm as open to hearing somebody else's opinion mm-hmm. and belief as long as you're willing to give me the same.
So you wouldn't call yourself closed-minded?
I'm trying not to be. I try to change that all the time. It's a work in progress.
Yeah. And really, sometimes that isn't in our DNA, as in we with ADHD people. I mean, it's great to say that we're open-minded and we'll all, yes, I'll hear what you're saying, but.
So that's interesting then to hear it said to me that way. Maybe it is a bit close-minded at times.
Well, we can be.
Yeah. I'm stubborn. I know that.
But sometimes, you know, it's funny that you say that, because if you say, yeah, sometimes we can be closed-minded, it's tough if you're closed-minded to say that, to come to that realization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're closed-minded.
I'm sitting here feeling that right now.
No, I'm not here to make you uncomfortable.
No,
we're all on the same
club. Not uncomfortable at all, but it's again, this is...
The reflection you're seeing.
The reflection yeah. that I haven't done enough work with myself, perhaps,
now,
with
see,
ADHD.
That's the doubt. And here you say in one aspect you're a pit bull and you don't let go.
I'm a pit bull for my children.
Right.
Very
but
different.
We people with ADHD are full of self-doubt. No matter how good we're doing something, oh, I don't know if I did that right. Because we're so
true.
Used to not to being, you know, put down.
Yes.
And we're forced to do something else. Or sometimes we're our own worst critics.
Oh, that goes without saying. 100%. That's a hard one to overcome.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's a daily practice. And some days are better than others.
You know, if only we can be kind to ourselves and not look for acceptance through other people. I feel that way sometimes,
mm-hmm.
that we go overboard and not just, well, maybe you are going overboard when it comes to your daughter, but you're
probably
wanting to fix things, as do I.
Yeah.
I see someone who's broken, I want to help fix them.
Yeah.
But sometimes we don't have that same strategy when it comes to us. Right?
Absolutely.
You had mentioned that, you know, you have doubts about you, but not in what you're doing for your daughter, because you want your daughter to succeed. But there's always that self-doubt in us.
But in advocating for her or for the other kids that...
But what about advocating for you?
But in doing that, I'm learning very slowly
yeah.
that I deserve to be advocated
sure.
for as well. So it's a journey.
I've learned this even doing the podcast. I mean, I was diagnosed at 49, so I was leading...
Wow.
I was going through life not knowing what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
But in my association with Kadak for many years and with the podcast and hearing different people and talking to different people at conferences, and there comes that realization that, yeah, you know, we've got to take that ability, as you are now with that hyper focus on how people are going to accept ADHD and how are we going to market ourselves mm-hmm. in life. Now, I'm sure there are people at home or listening in the car, wherever, because we have listeners all over the place, all over the world. And they're thinking that, well, okay, yeah, I have ADHD and my son or daughter has ADHD, but I really haven't been an advocate. What would you say to these people? Where do you start? How do you get going?
An advocate for their children or for themselves?
For the kids. It's, say, in school, because we know that, you know, it's a crapshoot.
That's the hardest place.
So what happens? Where do you go?
You know what? Always start with your teacher.
Right.
You want to make a partnership as best as you can. you know, you go in, my experience has always been just to go in and be as honest as I can, explain our situation without giving too much information.
Right.
I don't want to bias the teacher's opinions. Obviously, they're going to have a different experience with my child than I do, but I want to give them an overall idea of what I experience once she is removed from the classroom. So how she is at school can be very different at home. Just be open, honest, and then if that doesn't work, you know, you move to the next level. Look into your school's resources. What do you have for core support? Get your principal on board, you know, and again, outside of that, it's, are you seeing doctors? Have you started that? Are you seeing specialists, therapists, whatnot, whatever you need to do, but just try, be open when you can be, and just start talking about it. And I find the more I have started talking, obviously at the elementary level, but also with the parents in the school and get other people's ideas and perspectives of what they see and just keep talking. And that every time I do that and I talk to somebody else or talk to another teacher, another resource, it opens another door somewhere else.
How do you keep going, though? I mean, it's one thing if the teacher is open-minded themselves.
Yes.
Maybe they're not educated, but they're open-minded. But we do know some people, and some of them are teachers, that are not open-minded. Mm-hmm. So, listen, I've been doing this for 30 years, and you're telling me how to do my job? How dare you? You know, what happens if you're faced with someone who's closed-minded and you say, okay, you go to the next level? But still, you're going to the principal and kind of ratting out the teacher. How do you approach that?
I never try to look at it as ratting out my teacher. I always try to bring a collective group to the table and say, this is our experience. I only speak from my perspective, from my child's perspective. And say, here's what we're dealing with. Okay, again, you're having a completely different experience over here. How do we meet in the middle? What can we do? And again, it's not always as well received as I would like it to be, but then that's where my sort of hyper-focus comes in, where I don't give up. Okay, this meeting didn't work. We need to talk again. We need to talk again and just keep going. And usually somewhere down the line, we'll find some commonality. We won't always find what we need, but just keep going.
I'm using the strategy that we use in advertising as far as, okay, you put yourself in the client's position. Okay, what are their wants and needs? And if you find a way to fill it. I would think, and I've talked to a number of teachers who are, and parents who have teachers who have accepted this and who have altered their strategy, that they found their job is a hell of a lot more easier, that if you work that strategy to adapt for ADHD people or kids, than if you were to just treat them like every other kid and you know, the ADHD person not retaliates, but maybe acts up. To me, you're helping the teacher do their job and make it easier for them.
That's what I've always tried to do.
Yeah.
A lot of teachers, in our experience, they don't like to use the strategies. They like to send the kids off to another space to have strategies. They don't want to be told.
A teacher doesn't want to be told. They teach.
They want to teach, but you know what? Not everybody learns the same way. And whether you have ADHD or any other type of learning disability, they have to learn to adapt. And again, maybe that's my closed-minded side of it.
Well, but
you
still
have no choice. You have 30-plus children who learn all in different ways.
But if you look at it a certain way, okay, yes, you're advocating for your kid, but you're making the teacher's job easier.
I like to believe that.
Yeah, but as soon as they believe it. Now, have you found some teachers, and I've found this, and I just want to get your opinion on it, that they've implemented an ADHD strategy, and they say, it helped everyone. Even my kids who don't have ADHD are learning better.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've seen that a few times.
So you're bucking the trend as far as what they're being taught, they as the teachers in university and the way that they're taught to teach, that it might not be the way to teach.
There's many different ways. It's like anything in life. There's always another route. There's always another way to go. And it's just I try not to make it personal. It's not about the teacher as a person.
Right.
It's not about me as a mom. I'm trying to open the doors to see that there's different ways to do things in the world, whether it's specific to just her learning, her ADHD, like, we all have to try occasionally to kind of take the blinders off and put the ego aside a little bit too. which I know it can be hard for me to do that, like anybody else.
Sure.
No one really likes to be told that, but
yeah, I mean,
I will say it.
Well, at least you're admitting it.
100%. Listen, I can be my own worst enemy in this process, and I know that.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I have to always step back myself and check myself and try to put myself in other people's shoes, which isn't always easy to do.
Yeah. Have you found that in advocating for your kid that you've come across like-minded parents? Have you ever joined up with other parents to make a communal fight, or is it always a lone effort?
I will find I'm usually the one spearheading it.
Okay. You're always the leader. Yeah. Oh, that's good.
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't always want to be the leader, but it just seems to be in our environment. That tends to be what happens. And then I bring people on board.
Unfortunately, if you get, you know, a half a dozen people, like-minded people, and they all want to be a leader, you get a problem there.
I don't know. I haven't experienced that too often. Maybe just the environment that I'm in.
Yeah.
But I would love to have that. I'd love to have more like-minded people. Then I don't seem to be, you know, the only one waving the flag there.
Well, that's the thing.
In the middle.
Yeah, you're the token parent up there. You know, you're blazing the trail for others to follow. But it'd be nice if you had more people helping you build that bridge.
I'm the token target. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I would think that is to break that mold is for certain teachers to view you as a problem solver as opposed to a problem.
A few do. A few think that way. It'd be nice to get more people on board.
What about in life outside of the school? How do you find being a square peg in a round hole society?
Very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you overcome it? Or do you?
I don't know if you ever totally overcome that.
Yeah.
At least I haven't yet. If anything, it's made me a little more closed off to the world than I used to be, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm becoming more aware of that.
Yeah.
Now that I'm learning that I more symptoms that I think I may have and knowing it, I've been getting closer to needing to have my own diagnosis and whatnot, like really start to do the work for myself.
I've got to ask, are you afraid of what that diagnosis will bring? Or what's putting you off as opposed to explore? Or is this just a situation that you're a helper for other people as opposed to yourself?
I think that's 100%. I think I'm used to being a helper first for other people. But I'm learning through my journey with my daughter that, you know what, I feel like we finally have come to a more comfortable place with her. I feel that she's in a good place, that now she's learning to advocate for herself and doing a wonderful job.
Right.
Doing it. So now I can step back a little bit and go, okay, you know, I need to put the mirror on me. The more I can learn and maybe help myself, then I can go back and have more information and understand things better so that I can continue for my children and whatever other experience I have.
Speaking of understanding, I would think that with your daughter with ADHD and you with undiagnosed ADHD, that you probably understand each other a bit better than the normal parent-child, or not? Do you clash?
I think I do understand her. We have our moments. We definitely clash. But that's mother-daughter, right?
Yeah, sure.
I think that's just normal.
Yeah.
No, I do think I understand her. And the more I'm learning about myself and the more I'm able to share with her, I think she's seeing that she's not alone in the world. She's not the only square peg.
Yeah.
And it's great to be a square peg.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you want to be unique. And that's the word we use in our house. You're unique. And that's a great thing to be. You know,
unique as opposed to strange.
Absolutely. Or weird or different or all the crazy.
The labels that are out there, right?
Absolutely. We don't use those labels in our house.
Now, what about your daughter, has she ever come to you and saying that she's been subjected to those labels outside?
Subjected. She spent years being bullied.
Really?
Terribly, terribly. Yeah.
That's the thing. That's another common thread.
So badly bullied and treated terribly and harassed. And, you know, at the end of the day, we've dealt with every situation as it's come along. But, you know, we've always made sure or did our best to help her understand that it isn't just her. It's the perception and people's misunderstanding of her situation and their closed-minded sides of things too. They don't want to accept that maybe there's a situation because they can't see it.
Yeah.
You know, we always say it's like the doctors would always tell us if she had diabetes and needed to have a needle every day, you could say, look, here's what's wrong.
Right.
But anything mental health inside, you can't see it, so you should be able to do better. You should be able to, you know, stop talking. You should be able to help yourself stop moving around and spinning, and in her case, singing nonstop, you know, little things like that. So.
Well, we always have things going on in our brain, and for me, music is one of them, but it just constantly, I can't shut it off. Mm. It's a good thing, though.
It's a great thing.
You can't change it, right?
Except when you're sleeping, yeah.
Yeah, that's
a little bit hard.
There we go. I mean, it's funny. I often look back. You know, we live in such a PC world, politically correct. Wouldn't it be nice if if we can get other people to buy in or give us a little portion of that?
Just a little piece would be nice.
You know?
Yeah.
ADHD people, we don't fit in that politically correct.
Which is great sometimes.
Hey, I'm no snowflake by any stretch. Yeah. I mean, it frustrates the hell out of me. But, I mean, it just seems that, you know, ADHD is so easy to make fun of or to kick around. Or, you know, if I hear squirrel one more time, I mean, I like laughing with it, for sure. But, you know, sometimes, okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I understand that's funny, but don't you get it?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice? Huh?
It would be nice, yeah.
Yeah.
But then people don't want to hear about it when you say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, okay, you've said this 100 times. Here's why. Here's why we're doing what we're doing. Be nice.
I often ask this with fellow ADHDers because it's so common. A depression, it seems to follow us around wherever we go. Mm-hmm. Do you fight that at all?
All the time.
Really?
Yep.
How?
You know, now I'm learning the simple tools that I wish I knew years ago, which was just healthier eating.
Yeah.
Exercise. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm finding is making a difference. Just not being so hard on myself. Like learning that maybe I'm not actually a bad person. Maybe there was a reason all these years for some of the circumstances. I mean, growing up, I know in my particular home, it was always, you're not trying. You're not doing it. Mm-hmm. There was just misinformation, not understanding different generations.
Oh, if they only tried better, they'd be, you know, they'd get an A instead of a B.
I was always told, if you just pull up your socks, that was the famous expression in my house. Pull up your socks. You could do better. You could try harder. You know, so yeah, that sticks with you. You grew up hearing those messages time and time again.
It's tough to pull up your socks when your shoes are too tight.
Absolutely. And you don't know how to do that because you're, for lack of a better word, different than the people around you, you know.
I would think that maybe your daughter's cause would be an inspiration for you to maybe break away from a depressing moment, or does it? I mean, how depressed do you get?
I've gotten pretty down before.
Yeah.
Very, very. But, you know, I really work hard to remember why I'm advocating in the first place.
Sure.
So I can have my dark moments and my dark days, and I'm like anybody else, right?
That's the thing. You're not alone.
No, but I always thought I was. And that's the messaging.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it?
And that's what I'm learning through her journey. And we stress with her so much that you are not alone.
Well, that's what you're doing now. That's what we're doing right now. Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody listening that might be totally down or maybe thinking about the ultimate. But I mean... Yeah.
See, I'm not... I've had those thoughts. We've all had those thoughts. But there's just always something in me that just... I always believe there's always hope, no matter how bad it is, no matter how dark.
That's the thing.
And it's hard to have that.
Isn't it hard to have hope?
It's the hardest thing to have. And to truly believe that there has to be a light at the end of the tunnel. There has to be something else, something different.
But sometimes when people are getting you down and they just don't get it, they don't understand you, that you're thinking, yeah, maybe there isn't hope. But there really is.
The sooner
that we can find that out.
There really is.
And it'd be nice if that light were a bit brighter.
A lot brighter. We need it. We need somebody just flashing that light so we can all follow it.
Maybe I'm looking at that person.
No, I don't know. You never know.
Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for talking to me.
Well, that's it for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm so happy you could join us. Be sure to tell friends, bring them on board for the next podcast. If you missed a podcast, no problem. Just go to clubadhd.ca. They're all listed right there, as well as the links to our Facebook group page and our Twitter account. Club ADHD, a presentation of CADAC. That's CADDAC.ca. That's the place to go for lots of information on ADHD, as well as on how you can be an advocate. You know, wave the flag. And speaking of it, being an advocate, I want to remind you to check out ADHD Speaks.
Your chance to help us, help us all. Again, visit the website, caddac.ca. Don't forget, when it comes to our next podcast, we'll be speaking to CADAC's CEO and President, Heidi Bernhardt. And if you have a question for Heidi, just visit our Facebook page and check out where you go to put down your question. We've got a thread happening there. We have lots of good questions so far, but we can use more, like the one from you. Once again, that's the Facebook group page, Club ADHD, the podcast. Well, that's it for now. I hope you have a great day, a great week. Until we meet again, this is your cordial ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. Remind you to spread the word. ADHD is real. Bye for now.